This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Lindsay White from Lexington, Kentucky. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 26, episode 796. This episode is brought to you by High Visibility North America. Good morning, Horse World.
So we want you to think safe, ride safe, and be safe.
Wait a minute, 99. That gives me an idea.
You got a helmet? Oh, I've got a helmet. I got a beauty.
All right, let's roll. Hey, let's be careful out there.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, Lindsay.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
It's good to have you back again for our second monthly episode of the Safety Show. I'm so glad that you're here. It's always fun to get to hang out with an old friend.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Glenn. So do you have big plans for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, no, actually, we're just going to my brother's, who is in the neighborhood here. So we're heading over there. After the show today, we're actually heading up to St. Augustine, Florida, to visit with Jamie. And Jamie's coming into Florida to see her mom. So we're going to go up and visit with her and the new baby and get to actually meet the new baby. So we're going to spend the day with them. I haven't seen Jamie in a couple of years. So it's going to be nice to get up and get to visit with them.
Well, that's very nice. I'm going out to a friend's farm on the outskirts of Lexington.
You do that every year. Tell the listeners a little bit about that, because it's so much fun.
I do. I have a very dear friend called Robin Stanback, and her and her husband very graciously kind of adopted me when I moved to America many moons ago. And they have the best get-togethers and parties and that kind of thing. So she has, as usual, and very kindly invited me out to her wonderful farm just on the outskirts of Versailles. And so I'm going to be joining them for Thanksgiving dinner. I'm very, very excited because she always has the most eclectic people out there from all walks of life. And you never know who's going to be there, and just has fabulous food and perhaps a glass of wine or two. So
didn't you tell me that they sort of like adopt along the years have adopted a bunch of people who have come over from Great Britain?
They have. They've been so kind because when I first came out here to the States, I was on a fellowship and they kind of took me under their wing. And over the years, they've just kind of adopted all of the kids, you know, that have made it across the shores to the U.S. And so it's so nice because she calls it like she calls us her adopted children, which is so wonderful. But we're basically all over the world now. So she's got these adopted kids in Australia and New Zealand and England and kind of all around the globe. So it's pretty cool. It's like a large extended family, and it's great because they all come back to visit, which is wonderful. So they all make it back to visit with her and stay with her, and then we all get together.
So it's kind of like an expat Thanksgiving.
It is. Well, yeah, kind of expat, but some of them are other nationalities as well. So it's not just British, you know. So she's got the Scots in there. She's got Irish adopted kids, Australians. But yeah, it's kind of expats, but not just in the British sense of the term yet.
Oh, cool. Now, I always wondered about the term expat, because that's pretty much applies to anybody that goes to a different country, right? It's just not Americans.
Yeah, it really does. But it's more recognized as being kind of tied with England in some respects. Expat is really anywhere that you've kind of moved to another shore, but you know, it's kind of more recognized as being from an English background.
So when I move to an island someplace to get away from the world, then I'll be an expat.
Yes, you will. Just make it a good island and I'll come and visit you and Jennifer.
Right. Yeah, don't hold your breath. I think this is as far south as we're going now. You know, we've moved.
Well, hey, at least you're in the south, because it is cold here in Kentucky, let me tell you. I think it's supposed to be a wonderful whopping 20 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh,
tonight, 20.
Ooh.
Yes, it's only November, so feel a bit sorry for us up here.
Okay, I do. I feel sorry, but I'm kind of glad I'm out of there, to be honest. We're still hitting this. We're still hitting the 70s every day, and lows at night maybe get to 60. So.
Yeah, just I'm sure you're so cold. You're probably wearing a parka when it's 60. Yeah,
that's true. That is true. And you know, I used to pick on everybody here in Florida who used to order from us when we lived in Pennsylvania and had our store. He used to order blankets for the horses in Florida, and we used to laugh and pick on them so much. Now, if it goes below 60, we're out there putting the sheet on. You know, we're one of those people now. So,
you know, it's funny you say that, because I have a very good friend down in Florida, and she lives just slightly south of you in McIntosh, which is just south of Ocala.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And she comes to stay with me, you know, whenever she's up this way, and she thinks like 60 degrees is freezing, and she'll have like three layers on. And I just think it's hysterical, because that's just her mentality, is that anything below 60 is cold. And I'm like, girlfriend, you should try being here when it's 20.
We're at that point now. This is our second winter here, full winter. So we're kind of getting that way now. I think it's going to take another one, and then we'll be with our winter parkas at below 60. I think we'll be there too. Wendy is that way. Boy, she came up to visit us, and it got down to like 59, and she was wearing like 14 layers. It's like, Wendy, you're not in Alaska.
That's too funny.
Well, let's talk about what's coming up on today's show. Who are our guests coming up?
I'm really excited. We've got some great guests today. We've got one of our own, Tammy Trontz, is going to be joining us. And Tammy is co-host of The Western Show. And also, she has a background in mounted shooting. So she's a former world champion cowgirl mounted shooter. So look out, anyone, when Tammy's around. So she's going to talk to us a little bit about what the mentality of why people don't wear helmets in Western disciplines. Because Tammy had a traumatic brain injury, not actually related to riding, but as an automobile accident. And it kind of really changed her mindset on wearing a helmet while riding, which she now does. So we're going to get some great insights from her. Then also we have Kathy Slack joining us. And Kathy is another lady that's become a dear friend of mine. And she started something called the Western Helmet Initiative down in Texas. And she's been doing great things to kind of really encourage safety, particularly in the kids that ride in raining and various Western events down in the Texas area. And then finally, we will have Christy Lanworth from the Certified Horsemanship Association joining us. And she has very kindly put together a list of top safety tips, general safety tips, not just related to helmets, for being around horses. So she's going to go through that with us. So I'm quite excited. It's going to be a great show, Glenn.
Thank you, Lindsay. And of course, if you missed Lindsay's last episode with us, you can just catch that at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can go back and take a look through the archives, and you'll find the first safety episode that we did. And Lindsay joins us every single month here on Horses in the Morning, the fourth Tuesday of every month. Well, let's do our daily whinnies. Well, my daily whinny is a simple one, Lindsay. It goes out to all of our listeners, over 30,000 of them now, that listen from about 22 different countries. The country list keeps growing. Our app is helping that. People are downloading our app from all over the world. I want to give thanks to our listeners for joining us here. You all are the best. You're always writing on our Facebook page. We really appreciate that, and we appreciate you listening into our silliness every single day. I realize that we're probably not the highest quality entertainment that you're going to find in the horse world, but we will give you a few chuckles every now and then. So thank you so much to all of our listeners from all around the world for tuning in to Horses in the Morning and all the Horse Radio Network shows. I really appreciate it. Now your turn.
Well, my daily whinny also is along the same lines today, Glenn, because it goes out to the amazing group of followers globally of the Riders for Helmets campaign, obviously, which I founded several years ago now. They are just amazing. They are absolutely amazing. We've got about 18,000 followers on Facebook now. We get about 50,000 unique visitors from 40 countries on the ridersforhelmets.com website. And they have created their own little forums on the Facebook page. And sometimes I feel bad, because if I'm really busy and I kind of skip a day and I don't post something on there, I'm like, oh, they're going to be so mad. But no, lo and behold, they just post their pictures of them helmet wearing. They post updates of going to a show and who was wearing a helmet or who wasn't on the world stage. And they just carry on as normal. So I'm kind of feeling almost like they don't really need me anymore, quite frankly. but I love them all the same because they send stories and they send emails and they post on the Facebook and they tweet with us. And they're just the best followers you could ever possibly wish for. So this is to you, Riders for Helmets followers, no matter where you're located around the globe. Huge, huge thank you.
I love when they post pictures on your Facebook page, too, of them just, I mean, you get the most unique pictures because they're all wearing helmets and they're all very proud of the fact that they're wearing helmets. And they're, you know, most of them, you get some of the cutest pictures of little kids without a horse, even just wearing their helmets. And it's just the cutest pictures and riding on the beach and just the best pictures of helmet wearing. I saw also you had a friend of the Horses in the Morning show post on your Riders for Helmets page, and she actually called us from there. Is Mandy Widrick, who is our sort of tech guru here on Horses in the Morning. And she was working, yeah. She was working at Equine Affair where you were. And she called us from there to give us a report that morning. And then I think you got a picture with her soon after that.
Do you know what's really, I've got to tell you very quickly if I may, Glenn, because yeah. This is actually a very funny story. So Mandy was literally at the Equine Affair. And I remember reading somewhere on a Facebook page that she was going to be at Equine Affair. And I was obviously at Equine Affair as well with the high visibility. And the funny thing is, me and her have communicated on Facebook and emails for many, many years, like a long time, but literally never met in person. So I vaguely recall, you know, Mandy's posting about being at being at Equine Affair, being working with Troxel and everything else. And it dawns on me on like the final day of Equine Affair, wait a minute, isn't the Troxel booth like right behind us? So I pull back the curtain and I said, you know me? And she goes, I do. And I said, yes. I said, I was once on a plane at Boston Airport and you were tweeting about how you were doing something with BlackBerry. And you said, oh, come and meet me. But the plane doors had closed, so there wasn't none of that happening. She goes, it's Lindsay from Facebook. So it was really funny. She'd been like behind me for like 3 days. And on the fourth day, I finally figured out she was in the booth right behind us.
Mandy has the best smile. Her smile lights up the room.
She does. And her husband was so nice as well. The pair of them, I was like, get a picture of you together. And let's, so they stood with all the Troxel helmets and we got a picture for the Riders for Helmets page. But it was just so hilarious that they were working behind me for 3 days and we were so busy. We didn't even cotton on that they were there. So it was quite funny.
Well, they're good people. Well, let's do this. Let's get Tammy on the line here. Of course, Tammy Surratt's co-host of the Western Radio Show for a very long time and a champion mounted shooter. I've told the story before of her on Skype putting the video on and saying, here, look at my wall. And she has a wall that has a case built, and it's a beautiful case, that has over 150 championship belt buckles on the wall. It's this wall of bling, I call it. And so she knows her way around mounted shooting, and she is one of the best in the world. And let's get her on right now.
Good morning, Tammy.
Hey, Lindsay, how are you?
I'm good, good. And Glenn's with us as well. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. I always love joining you guys.
We love having you. So we did a little bit of introduction for you already, Tammy, because some of the listeners will know you from one of the other radio shows, obviously.
Yes.
But we just invited you on today because obviously your background, you're quite prestigious in the fact that you've been a world champion cowgirl mounted shooter. And we kind of did a little introduction already about the fact that you'd been involved in an automobile accident, and that had really made you think about, you know, you're protecting your head and everything else because you did suffer a TBI. So we just wondered if you could possibly share a bit of your insights, which I know I've shared, talked about with you many times before with the Riders for Helmets campaign, but just with everybody about, you know, some of the reasons that you feel that, you know, the cowboys and the Western disciplines are not wearing the helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great point, Lindsay. And I've got to say, like, I can sit here and say it's easy for me to be a role model, but to be honest, it's not. It is extremely difficult. And I believe in helmets, but for me to actually wear one when it came to it, it was really hard for me. And I've had that head injury and I went to one of my first shoots and I was feeling the pressure of wearing my helmet. So I kind of made an excuse and I told my other half, like, oh, I've got a headache and my head's hurting and I can't wear my helmet. Because I thought, you know what? I hate change. I don't want to wear my helmet. So I took it off and I was running home after the third turn and my horse tripped and he fell not all the way down. He caught himself and got, you know, kept going. But it was enough for me to kind of sit there and be like, oh, my God, my head, you know. So the next shoot, it was a 2-day shoot, you know, one Saturday, one Sunday. And the next day I went out and I wore my helmet and I won the high overall in my helmet, beat all the guys and the girls. And it proved a point that I really hated because I wanted to feel better without it. And when I got on it and I had my helmet and I was competing – to me, after everything I've been through, and it's really hard for people to understand a TBI if they haven't had one, but I got to the point where I couldn't brush my teeth without crying because the water was so loud going down the drain, I couldn't stand it. And once you've been through something like that, you have a whole new understanding. And I learned that I rode better with my helmet than without my helmet. And that is exactly the opposite of what I was hoping to find, you know, because of the Western pressure of being a cowboy. And when I actually put it back on, I done really well with it. And I think the biggest thing I learned from that, there were some new people there and they walked past me and they pointed at me when I had my helmet on. And, you know, I seem all big and tough and strong. And when they pointed at me, I walked around the corner and I burst into tears and I just thought, you know what? They are teasing me for my helmet. I don't want to do this. And one of my friends came up and she was like, what's the matter, Tammy? Are you okay? And I said, they're laughing at my helmet and they don't understand. And so she went, she's like, I'll take care of it. And she went over to them and said, hey, you know, what's the deal? And she came back and she said, hey, Tammy, they were pointing at your skirt and saying how different it was and how pretty it was on your horse. And I felt like a real idiot because I thought everyone was staring at me with my helmet on. And what I really learned was, yes, it's really hard to go out there and wear a helmet and break the mold. But you know what? People don't care. They're not teasing you. They're not making fun of you. They're not. I mean, I was so self-conscious and I learned that I was the one who was more self-conscious of it than anyone else. So I went and kind of had fun with it and I bought some cool little decals for the back from – I went to AutoZone, the car store, and I'm like, do you
did
have
you get an
STP
stickers? Sticker, you know, racing yeah. stickers for the back?
I have, like, yeah, I did. I've got skulls and crossbones and pistols on the back and then I have a Sharpie where my friends have signed it for me and wrote, you know, scripture numbers on there. And I've really embraced it and really had fun with it. And I get a lot of emails and I get a lot of people saying – hey, you know what, Tammy, you know, I'm so glad I'm wearing a helmet now, or I can show my kids and someone of your level is wearing a helmet now, and that makes it easier. So, you know, in that deal, it's been really hard, but the biggest test for me was when I went to the World Championships and there's 400 shooters there, and here I am with my helmet on for the very first time. And I had to walk into the arena with everyone looking at me, and the first run I made, it was more of a practice run, and I messed it up. And I was really upset. I went back to my horse trailer and I said, Tammy, look at all the things you've achieved in your life. You don't need to do anything else to get respect from people. They already respect you. So you put your chin up and you put your shoulders back and you walk into that arena like the world champion you've been. And I did that the next run. I walked in and they told my story and everyone stopped what they were doing and they all turned around and they all clapped and they cheered as I walked into the arena and I was almost in tears. And I had a beautiful run and I walked out and I realized, you know what? People don't care. They're so happy to have you back and they're not all staring at your little mushroom head. So I do better. I feel better. So, you know, the whole thing has been really difficult for me. But I find I'm a much better rider with it. And it's really, you know, don't wait till you've had a TBI to learn that, you know.
I got to tell you, Tammy, Jennifer went down last weekend to a local shoot down here in Florida. She said there were probably about 100 people there, a mounted shoot.
Yep.
It was the first one she had ever gone to see. And she said there were probably 10 people there in helmets. So,
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I don't know if, you know, they may be converts coming across from the English side, too, because that's happening a lot now, I think, with mounted shooting. Mm-hmm. But it's happening. I mean, it's slowly but surely, it's happening.
It is. It is. And I am extremely hard-headed person. I won't change my cinch. I won't change my stirrups. I won't change. I've got colors for every day that I'm competing in a major shoot. I know. You
she
know,
has underwear from 30 years ago. I mean,
no, not that bad. But I mean, superstitious, or I'm that, I mean, I'm smart enough to know it's not the blue skirt that wins the world, but I hate change. So for me to go ahead and make a big change like this, it was really hard. And, you know, I was sitting with one shooter and I said, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. It's really hard to break the Western mold and do something to protect yourself and in turn your family, but you really have to do it. And someone came up to me and I said, you know, Tammy, do not tell them how hard it is, because then you're just confirming what they think. And I turned around and I said, I'm not going to lie to people. This is difficult. I mean, it's the best thing to do for you and everyone who loves you and everyone around you, but it's hard. And that's the thing I found. But at the end of the day, you know, I've snuck off a couple of times when Vernon, my fiance, is not here, and rode without a helmet because I'm just like, he's not here, you know. And, you know, I don't feel good without it anymore. You know, I really don't. So I've really got into the habit of it, and I'll continue to wear it. And I've got to give a thanks out to Troxel, who is my sponsor, who really makes a low-profile light helmet. So they've really had some big advances in helmet design and stuff, and really made it really easy for everybody. So, you know, Lindsay, I'm not gonna say it's easy, but I'll say it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, and what would just to kind of wrap up as well, Tammy, I mean, what's your perspective? Obviously, there's going to be some cowboys whose mindset and mentality, they're just, it's history, it's tradition, they're going to wear the cowboy hat, you know, and we may never get to those people and encourage them, you know, to wear a helmet. But what are your thoughts with regards to like the youth? You know, what can we do there perhaps to just at least try and get the youth perhaps interested in wearing a helmet and get the parents educated? I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I think I did talk to the Shooting Association about doing some incentives, some money incentives, and I'm, you know, I'm happy to do that for them. But I want to do that, and as well as some helmet incentives for the youth, because I found that people don't want to wear helmets, or they're kind of borderline, and they might do and they might not, but they don't want to be like the one out there in the helmet. And if you create an incentive so they could be like, hey, you know, do you hear about the incentive, or I'm wearing this for the incentive, it kind of makes it a little easier and gives them a reason to wear a helmet when they really did overall. But I think the biggest thing comes down to getting role models kind of like myself, because I went to New Mexico to do a clinic last weekend, and one of the ladies comes up to me and she said, thank you so much for wearing a helmet, because when you walked in and you're at such a high level, I showed my daughter and I said, look, Tammy's over there and she's a level 6 and she's wearing a helmet. And she said it gave her daughter a reason to wear a helmet. So I think having role models, creating incentives, and really educating people, because, you know, I probably wouldn't have been such a big helmet believer if I hadn't been to the Riders for Helmets symposium that you did, Lindsay, because once you sit there all day and you listen to the neurologists and the people who have been world-class athletes and they've had injuries, you know, like Courtney, it really brings it to home. And once, you know, I think that just comes back to education. And the more you know about it, the more you understand it. So I think it's kind of a combination of all those things that would really help bring Western in. But I kind of look at the cycling. I mean, no one wore a helmet, and now you're not allowed on one without one. So I think, you know, we can get where we want to go. I just think that change is going to be slow, and it's going to take a combination of like incentives, education, and role models to get that done.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Tammy, because sorry, I'm losing my voice, because you have been such a great ambassador for helmet wearing. And I think, you know, it takes people like yourself that are at the top of the game and, you know, are being quite honest and saying it's not an easy topic and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. But you are a role model. You are a role model for those kids, and you're out there and you're wearing a helmet when you compete. You know, you're showing them it's okay. You're taking away the stigma of, oh, you don't wear a helmet in Western disciplines. And I just think that's a huge step forward and in the right direction. And thank you so much for all that you've done and all the involvement that you've had in the Riders for Helmets campaign.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I think one of the biggest things I took from the first symposium I went to was I would sit there and say, I have a great horse. I'm very experienced. I've won a lot of world championships. It's not going to happen to me. And when you see an Olympic rider like Courtney get up there and say, this was an accident, my horse tripped, it had nothing to do with, you know, my experience. It had nothing to do with, you know, my horse not being a good level. It was just an accident. And once you realize that that can happen to you, then you start to think about it a little more. So that was one thing that really changed my mind. I would sit there and be like, well, I don't need to wear a helmet, but my students do, some of them, you know. And then I realized that, hey, you know, it has nothing to do with experience. So that's one of the biggest things I took from the symposium that I really enjoyed.
Well, thank you so much, Tammy. We really appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
That's Tammy from the Western Radio Show, westernradioshow.com, if you want to hear more of her lovely Texas Australia accent.
Well, our next guest, Glenn, is Kathy Slack, and we are delighted that Kathy is joining us today. I've known Kathy for a little while because she's been a speaker at the safety symposiums that we do with Riders for Helmets, and I would like Kathy to tell us a little bit about her background. But basically, she has done been doing and involved with a project called the Western Helmet Initiative down in Texas. So welcome, Kathy, and if you could tell us a bit about yourself, that would be great.
Thank you, Lindsay. Sure. I was that horse kid, you might say. I started to ride when I was 6 years old, continued with that enthusiasm until at 16 I was going for other people. But really, over the years, what happened is I became involved with children and horses, and any program that I began or that I was part of would double in size. So although I received my training as a trauma burn ICU nurse and continued in that career, while my children were young and we were together as a family showing horses, I noticed that I had a gift for kids and horses. So when I moved to Texas, I did open two riding facilities. I have a Hunter Jumper barn that's called the BK Riding Center, and I have a Western barn named Signal Hill Ranch, where we do the sport of team penning and ranch sorting. So now I run both barns, and I do. I never had a problem, let's say, with children and riding horses with helmets in the English world. But I noticed as I started to go more into the Western sports that very few children and certainly the adults were not interested in wearing helmets. So that brought me to want to combine my safety background as a trauma burn ICU nurse and a riding enthusiast to say maybe we can help make a little bit of an influence there. I was lucky that Tipperary Helmets wanted to help me out with it. They allow me to buy helmets at a very reduced cost and at times will even offer us free helmets as awards and other ways to make that more interesting. And we do give away helmets at the major rodeos and other events that I attend when I'm competing with the United States Team Penning Association. Another interesting part would be that as a member of the USTPA and someone who brought a lot of new riders, and particularly a group who were wearing helmets, we always stood out a bit as an oddity. But as they got to know us, and we often would be affectionately called the helmet heads, they also came to appreciate what we contributed. So I'm now a Region 2 director in the United States Team Penning Association. I'm excited about that because it brings some recognition that I do wear a helmet, but I can still ride, and I can also be a contributing member of an association where they're not putting that helmet use against me in any way. So we've come to a place that I think is pretty cool, and I love that this year at the World Championships in Tunica, Mississippi, I gave away more helmets than I had in the past, and it was, again, to some of the young open riders who are now having children, and they recognize that as parents, they don't want to see their child ever have that risk. So we're making progress.
That's awesome, and your husband wears a helmet as well when he competes, doesn't he?
he does, Lindsay. And, you know, I think that's amazing. And it has led to a number of our other men wearing helmets as they compete. And what happened is 5 years ago at the San Antonio Rodeo, when some of my teenage riders were rebelling and not wanting to wear those helmets, he looked at me and said, "Do you have another one of those?" And I laughed and said, "Of course I do," and ran quickly. He put it on. He's never taken it off. And he really says that it makes him feel, you know, a little more secure when we're going fast. Some of our rides are 29 seconds to 10, 3 cows. You're going fast. But he says he really doesn't even feel like it's on. It's, we love the Tipperary design because it's lightweight and it suits his need to have something ventilated. And now he wears it even when he's not on the horse. And we kind of laugh and go, Eddie, you can take your helmet off now. He just doesn't think of it.
That's amazing. And that's so, I mean, that's so cool as well, because kind of in those Western disciplines, you know, it is the, as we were just discussing with Tammy, it's the tradition and the mentality to wear the cowboy hat. So, you know, as absolutely amazing as it is that you wear a helmet, it's fantastic that your husband's right there competing with you and wearing a helmet as well. So that, you know, the guys are seeing somebody in a helmet and perhaps getting a few of them to think about their safety as well.
You're right, Lindsay. And, you know, unfortunately in our barn, we did have that traditional cowboy, and he would not mind me sharing his story that he always wore a cowboy hat. He's been a wrangler out west. He's ridden all his life, and he pens and sorts with us. But a year ago on a young horse, the horse took a mishap during a slow exercise, nothing fast. And in that mishap, he suffered a head injury. He was unable to go to work for 3 months. We all took care of him as a single man. He didn't have a family network to see him through it. He lost quite a bit of, you know, work money, of course, and it still is taking him some time to really get back to riding, which is his passion. So he started to wear a helmet, and, you know, on behalf of him, I think a lot of other men joined to say no one would want that, you know, for themselves or their family. So we all take it seriously, but we're a fun group. It's not like we don't go out and, you know, enjoy the sport like everybody else.
Well, I think the nice thing is you're doing it in a very non-aggressive, non-confrontational way. You're doing it from an education perspective. And I know how you've told me in the past that you've gone to a show and, you know, offered helmets to parents for the children at the beginning of the event. And they're like, oh, no way. You know, the kids are wearing cowboy hats. But by the end of the show, they've changed their mind and come back and asked you for a helmet. So I think it's just amazing. I think you've got such a great program going on that, you know, through education and through physically being at these events, being role models, and then also, you know, educating people on the importance of helmets, you really are making great strides in the Western world.
Well, thank you. And I call it the gentle nudge. You know, it's really a place where we don't want to use any kind of strong philosophy, because we do have to have that, I call it the kill them with kindness, you know, hope that they see what we're doing. And it will take an incident for someone to then come back and go, no, I understand now, and I really want to help and support you. And we have had a few of those people who said, no, it is a family member of ours, and now we're going to help you. So they all wear helmets, and it's beginning to make a bit of a change, but it's going to take that gentle nudge, because we don't want to create any attitude as we go along. This year, we did a really funny thing at the World Show for our helmet giveaway. It was on Halloween night, and they had put me in charge of the party as the World Championship Committee member that I was. So we set up a booth where we had skeletons and spiders and light-up things, and we put helmets on all the skeleton heads and invited the kids to come up and get candy and a helmet. And we did. We gave away a lot of them. It was pretty cool.
That's really cool. I mean, it's just you're making it fun as well, and I think that's part of the key here is, you know, you're doing things that, you know, get the kids' attention, get the parents' attention, and it's fun, and it's not about trying to, like I say, take an approach that Tammy has always said, you know, you can't be aggressive towards people that don't wear a helmet, because you'll never get anywhere. You've got to educate, and you've got to share stories, and, you know, just gently encourage and get people to understand that it is safety first, particularly with the kids. I mean, you know, it's one thing if we're never going to convince the cowboys to wear a helmet, it's quite another if the kids are you know, out there competing in reining, competing some of these disciplines where the horse is, you know, accelerating very fast. And you know as well as I do, some of the horror stories that we've posted on the Riders for Helmets website involving kids in Western disciplines. And I think just the more we can kind of educate the parents, the more helmets we can get on the kids' heads, the better.
There's a funny helmet story I'll tell you from our World Championship show. So I put myself in a draw for the number 11 class, which is a very high level class. And it means that a 7-rated rider, which would be our open rider, a young man who's a great cowboy, super nice. We really like, I love riding with him because he's also very friendly. And he teams up with me through a draw. And here I am, a helmet wearing woman of, I'm 56. I'm not going to be the young spunky one or, you know, in that field, but I do feel I can ride well. And then we also team up with another younger boy whose father does mandate that he wears a helmet. So you can picture the three of us go into team pen. I'm on, you know, on the left, the young boy's on the right, and the open rider says to the young boy, you've been cutting really well. Why don't you go in first, and I'm going to be your turn back. And he looks at me and says, Kathy, if you can get in and get a cow quick, go for it, and I'll try to watch both of you. Well, the young boy goes in. He gets a cow. At the same time, my cow on the left is perfectly set. I go in and get it. So the two of us come out together with our good cows. I whip back. I see another cow. I grab it. We go back, and we pen in 29 seconds. We were the fast go team. I got a check for $500 on that one in the first go round with this young man open rider. But the funniest part is when we came out of the ride at 29 seconds and they were announcing, this is the fast go, this is the time to beat, all his buddies looked at him and said, what were you doing getting in their way? He should have let those helmets take care of this job. They did a much better. You know, they were just giving him a fun time. We didn't see it as critical at all. We were very proud. Just, you know, we went in there as the underdogs, the number 2 rated riders with this boy, and had a blast. And we did, in fact, we stayed the number, you know, the fast go for that round. And then, again, another one, I was, you know, of course, always wearing a helmet. I was 3rd in the world in my number 7 ride. And that was out of 225 teams. So we're starting to make that where a helmet doesn't mean you can't go fast or you can't ride well. It's not, that's not the purpose why we wear them. So,
you know, we had that conversation with Tammy. You know, she was a little embarrassed to be wearing her helmet after her accident and then went in and you know, won the competition over 100 other people. That's what it takes. I mean, they can snicker and they can laugh, but once you beat them, then all of a sudden they're not snickering and laughing anymore, are they? So,
sure.
You know, mm-hmm. Then they don't care about your helmet. Then it's just back to you were world, you know, you're the champion, and they forget that about the helmet then. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that in the Western world to get it accomplished. It's people like yourself and Tammy and other champions out there just wearing a helmet and, you know, in a subtle way saying, look, I'm wearing a helmet. I won. So, you know, you're coming after me next time. And that is what it's going to take for widespread adoption in the whole thing. I do have to ask you a question, though.
Yes, sir.
Before we let you go. And this is a little bit off topic, but it's mm-hmm. very unusual to see somebody with a hunter jumper barn and then a Western barn. So do you have the hunter jumpers jumping cows? That would be great practice, I think.
Well, yeah, that would be great. And I wish it were, call it, you know, well, that would be fun.
Because, you know, what I'm thinking is if they can jump a moving target, they can jump a stationary target.
There you go. That would be a perfect spot.
I mean, count the strides to a moving target. You're gonna have great practice.
That's right. Well, I do take my 18 hand. He's genuinely, I mean, people say, oh, really? And I go, no, he's 18 hand. He's an off-the-track rescued thoroughbred. And I take him to the Western barn frequently because my husband secretly likes to jump him in an English saddle. I mean, it is. And that's when he does jump him. So that's a funny thing that I do kind of merge those two worlds. I am sitting in my truck about to head up to Waco for our year-end hunter jumper show. And I look forward to that just as much as I do my team penning world. I tell people I'm living my dream. I get to do it all. And it's just something I feel I've earned the right to. But it really is cool. I have to say I'm excited that I live in those two worlds.
And not only that, you get to buy two completely different sets of clothes and lots of them.
And you are so right, sir. How did you know that would tap into my
I am
excitement?
A horse husband. I know these
yes,
things.
Yes.
And I know that the secret is not a secret anymore about the fact that your husband writes English at all.
There you go.
And I'm sure he will love you if any of his friends listen to this show.
Yeah, we don't. We only have 30,000 people listening. Nobody gets it.
He will love it. He will love it. Yep. No, it's, and you're right about the clothes, but I'm sad to say I've been so busy that my English clothes are kind of all rumpled up in my living quarters. And I had to bring an iron this time. I didn't get it together like I would like to. So that's all right. I'd rather show than not, and I'll figure out how to get my clothes ready.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Kathy, and best of luck as you head up to your Hunter Jumper show. We hope you do fantastic up there as well. And thank you so much personally for all that you've done for Riders for Helmets. And, you know, you just are the most amazing ambassador, and I'm just so, you know, honored to know you and so, you know, proud of everything that you're accomplishing in the Western world with helmets. And, you know, keep it up and keep us informed so we can keep sharing on Riders for Helmets as well.
Okay. Well, great. You guys have a good holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, next up, we have our song of the day, and I thought an appropriate one for today, one we haven't heard in a while, is our friend Templeton Thompson singing When I Get That Pony Road.
Me hurts. Guess it wasn't such a perfect landing. Yeah, I'm still alive. Not sure how I survived. It was a hell of a ride till it ended. I guess that's what you get when you leave. You don't always end up on your feet. Oh, there's easier ways I could go. Oh, but deep down inside me, I know I really have something to show when I get that pony road. Oh, yeah. Every now and again, I get myself in the spin, face the truth. Consequence of a fast turn. Every up, every down, every single go round, every fall I have found makes me stronger. So I'll knock all the dust off and then I'll get back in the saddle again. Oh, there's easier ways I could go.
Well, thank you, Tempe, for allowing us to play your music all the time here on the show. We really appreciate it. And happy Thanksgiving to Templeton Thompson and all of her clan down there in Tennessee. Well, you had an opportunity, since we talked the last time, to head to Equine Affair with your company, High Visibility North America. And this was one of the first shows that you've gone to where you had lots of stock and went up there to sell some stuff to the good people of New England who really need winter coats. So tell us about how High Visibility did. And of course, High Visibility North America, you sell very stylish outerwear that is high visibility, that's made to be seen for distances, and it's kind of neon colors. How did it go in New England with the stuffy New Englanders?
Oh, do you know, the New Englanders are a lot of fun, I have to say. They really are. They're great people. And we had a fantastic time at Equine Affair. And the funny thing was, Glenn, last year we were in like a secondary building because it was kind of last minute that we arranged to go to Equine Affair with the high visibility gear last year. So this time that we were very, very lucky, and the wonderful people at Equine Affair put us in the main hall, which was the Better Living Centre. And we had so many people that panicked that came in the booth and said, oh my gosh, we found you. We went in the other hall and you weren't there. And we were like, where are we going to get our stuff from for hunting season so we don't get shot? You know, so it was really, really nice because, I mean, it wasn't just one or two people. It was a lot of people that were coming in the booth and saying, we panicked when we didn't find you where you were last year. So it was actually kind of funny, but we were incredibly busy for the whole show. And everybody was coming in, getting kitted out, obviously, in their orange gear, you know, their vests and jackets and whatnot and stuff for the horses for hunting season. And then we had the ladies that were coming in and, like, they'd seen the pink jackets on our website and they wanted to purchase their pink jackets, which I think are really becoming a more of a fashion accessory than just for the safety too. They really are becoming the thing to wear, I think, the pink. And then we had people that came in for the yellow as well. So it's interesting because people know exactly which color they want when they come in the booth. I think there was probably only one or two people that kind of, hesitated between, do we go for pink or do we go for orange, you know? So, and obviously that was not the boys. you know, it's kind of interesting because we really are gaining quite a following now and people are kind of looking for us and so many different people from so many different walks of life. You know, we had people that just didn't even necessarily ride, but walk their dogs at night and they came in to get the dog coats and dog collars. And then another lady that came in and that she jogs early in the morning and she said, I'm so happy that I can now wear a high visibility vest so, you know, I don't get knocked down by a car or anything in the morning. And just great. I mean, it was just great. And the only sad thing about being at Equine Affair was and you may have seen this floating around on Facebook, but there was actually a pony shot that was in Vermont. And the pony was in a paddock and came over the top of the hill near a tree line where some hunters had been shooting. And literally the pony got shot because it was mistaken for a deer, which is very, very sad. So the people that own the pony actually came in the booth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They actually came in the booth, were buying all this stuff for both themselves and for their horses as well, and ordered a bunch of stuff. And that was pretty sad. But, you know, it was nice that they said, thank you for being here because, you know, we're going to go and spread the word and go back to Vermont and tell everyone about you. So, you know, all different walks of life. We had trail riders come in. We had eventing people come in, dressage people come in, jumpers. We had some Western folks come by the booth and say hi. And we really were the only booth there with anything of that nature. And I think, you know, it's so fashionable the way it's been designed. It's becoming very trendy to wear it. It's not just about safety. So I think that's very interesting.
Tammy was telling us after we, you know, before we got on the show this morning, she was telling me that she had gone out yesterday in her, and she has one of your fitted jackets. I don't know what color, pink or I'm not sure
it's
what color.
Pink. Yeah, pink, yeah. She has a pink jacket, which we gave her.
Was that the Aspie jacket?
Aspie jacket we gave her at Road to the Horse, and we kitted her dog out in a pink dog vest as well. So it was matching colors.
Well, she said she wore it to town today, and it's been cold there in Texas. And she said she had two people stop her and ask where to get them right on the street. So
well, there you go.
Yeah.
She told them our website.
Well, the one thing about them is they're great for advertising because you can see them a mile away. So people are going to see you coming. It's
like, well, you know, I'll have to send you the photograph she sent me as well, Glenn, because I was dying laughing because it was only a few weeks after Road to the Horse, which was back in March now. But, you know, like I said, I'd kitted Tammy out in a pink Aspie jacket and then her dog out in a pink dog rug. Well, they had some lambs on the farm, you know, the ranch.
Yeah.
The ranch, sorry. We're talking about Texas. It's ranch, not farm. She'll kill me for that statement. But on the ranch, they had lambs, and one of them was an orphan lamb, and it was black. So she took the dog coat and put it on the lamb. So there's a black lamb wearing a pink dog coat. And I can't remember what the lamb was called. It was called Barbara or something like that. But she sends me this photograph of the lamb wearing the dog coat, and it's so adorable. So I'm going to have to send you that.
You send that, and we'll use it as the show notes picture for today, okay? Send that over to me.
Must do that.
Well, you have...
But anyway...
Well, I wanted to ask you have a wide variety of products there. I mean, you got the dog coats, you have the jackets, you have vests for people that are fitted and really are made for riding. You have the reflective helmet bands that you can put, whether you're a cycler or, you know, a rider. You have the carriage, you have the thing for the back of the carriage. I mean, just all these different products that you can find at highvisibilitysportswear.com. What did you, was there any one thing that was the most popular at the show?
I think I would say at Equine Affair, everybody was buying the winter jackets because obviously the weather really has turned now. And it was quite surprising because last year when we were up there, it was a blizzard and a snowstorm and didn't get above about 30 degrees. But this year it was about 50. But it was still chilly and there was still some wind. And everybody was stocking up on the Aspie winter jackets, obviously, which are so, so popular, you know, having that removable warning triangle on the back. And then I would say the next most popular thing was the air waistcoats, the kind of lightweight, you can wear over anything, you can wear over your own coat, you can wear it in the summer because it's so lightweight. And we sold so many of those in orange. I mean, an enormous amount of those in orange. So everyone was going for the orange for hunting season. So
Is that the one that says on the back, please pass wide and slowly?
It does. You can get it with please pass wide and slow, but you can also get it just plain because some people didn't want the writing on because they don't necessarily ride on the roads as well as in the woods or trail riding. So we do have a plain version of it too. But, you know, all of the range, it's great because you can throw it in the washing machine. And, you know, like I say, on the jackets, they have a removable detachable warning triangle on the back and they're vented so they fit over your saddle when you ride, and they've got all kinds of pockets, and so they're just great. You know, I think everybody was really going for the Aspie jackets and the air waistcoats, I think, were the two most popular. But we came away with, we didn't come home with any dog rugs or dog collars either, because everybody, we had a little, we call him Fred, and we have a dog that goes with us to all of the trade shows, and he's black. And he sits on the front near the, you know, on the table with all the display on the front table. And we put a flashing dog collar on him. And it's amazing because you can turn it off and it flashes really on really fast, or flashes slow, or it's on all the time. And just it caught everybody's eye in the hall that was walking past. And we literally didn't come home with any dog collars either. So the dog stuff was very popular.
Well, and of course, this makes terrific holiday gifts. You can get them just by going to highvisibilitysportswear.com, and you can find all of your holiday gift options there. You should be buying something like this for anybody that has a horse and rides anywhere, like a road, or, you know, even through the woods or whatever, you know, wherever they ride. This is fashionable stuff, so you can wear it anywhere. You can wear it to the mall if you want to. So head on over to highvisibilitysportswear.com.
Well, our next guest on the show is Chris P. Landworth from the Certified Horsemanship Association. And I wanted to invite Christy on the show today because Riders for Helmets was actually the recipient of the 2012 Certified Horsemanship Association Partner in Safety Award. And we were incredibly honored to be the recipient of that award last year. And then recently, the 2013 recipient was actually named as Julie Goodnight. And Julie is an ambassador for the Certified Horsemanship Association and also a massive ambassador for helmet wearing. So we were delighted to hear the news that Julie was awarded the 2013 Safety and Partnership in Safety Award. So with that, I decided that I would like to reach out to Christy to come on the show today and just talk to us about some general safety tips about being around horses. So good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Lindsay. Pleasure to be on today.
So would you mind sharing with our listeners, I know you had emailed it to us, obviously, but you got the Certified Horsemanship Association has some great videos on your website and on your YouTube channel and just promotes the heck out of safety. And I wondered if you would mind going through some of your list with our listeners today, just because some of these things I think are everyday things, but you just don't necessarily think about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, number one, and you noticed it was number one in my list of things here, Lindsay, is to make sure to wear an ASTM SEI approved helmet. I actually live in Colorado, and I've been a riding instructor for a long time, and so many people show up and they have bike helmets on or ski helmets on, which is really funny because they cover your ears, so kind of hard to hear the instructor with a ski helmet on. But, you know, those are not approved if you fall from the height of a horse. They're approved if you fall when you're skiing down the slopes running into a tree, or bike helmet if you fall off your bike. So that's a big one. And thank you for talking to the listeners about our YouTube channel. They're free for anybody. You can embed them in your own websites. You can use them for staff training if you have staff coming for the summer, let's say, and you're in charge of a summer camp or whatever the case may be. And there's everything on there from how to fit a helmet correctly to how to saddle and bridle and pick a hoof and all of those types of things. And then the next one,
it's a really simple one, but it's amazing how many, I'll let you share what this actually is, but it's amazing how many people just don't seem to get it right with appropriate footwear attire around horses, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of us that have the horses in our backyard, we're the biggest culprits. We're like, you know, it's the morning. I'm just going to slip on these kind of sort of croc shoes and go outside and feed my horses. I'm just going to put my flip flops on. It's midday. I'm just going to go check on something and put these sandals on. And, you know, when you least expect it is when something happens, right? So yes, we have to have boots. We have to have not only to ride, because your foot could fall through the stirrup and you could get drug if something happens and you fell, if your foot does get caught, but also just being around them on the ground. They're big and they could accidentally step onto you. So I think that that's huge. And I put in there, again, it's a Colorado thing a lot of the times, but I know a lot of other states have the same issue, hiking boots. People think, well, it has a little bit of a heel. A hiking boot would be good, but all the tread on the bottom of a hiking boot is actually a huge issue and can also get you stuck in your stirrup.
And do you know, and I have to share with you as well, because you'll be mortified, but a friend of mine was wearing flip-flops, dare I say, to bring her horse in from the paddock, and her horse trampled on her foot. And I don't want to tell you the photograph, what it looked like, what she sent me, but needless to say, I don't think she'll ever wear flip-flops around a horse again.
I got to tell you, though, guys, we live in Florida, and boy, you see that a lot down here, a lot, where they'll be wearing flip-flops into the barn and everywhere, you know, just everywhere. So they don't ever get out of flip-flops in Florida. So I think that in the warm weather like we have, that people are even guiltier of that because they just don't wear shoes a lot. So I think the idea of putting on paddock boots down here, it you think about it more and it becomes more of a chore. But I totally agree with you. I don't go out there in flip-flops for sure.
And I think they'll keep doing it, Glenn, until they have the problem. And the minute they have the problem, they have the broken foot, the broken toe, the whatever, they'll go, oh, boy. Unfortunately, I think sometimes it takes an incident before people go, huh, maybe I should always wear closed-toed shoes around.
Well, you know what, too, with horses with shoes on the front, if they're tromping your feet and you're standing on concrete and you don't have a shoe on, you're not a broken toe, you're an amputated toe. So,
Good point.
A whole different ball game. Yep. And oh, by the way, it's going to get infected because of all the dirt. Just saying.
True.
So number three.
Yes, number three is wear pants. And I'll tell you once again, oh gosh, especially in Hawaii, I went over there and did a trail ride. And, you know, they're going to put anybody up on those trail ride concessions. Flip-flops, sandals, you know, the shorts. Let's go. And I'll tell you, you're going to get sores on your legs. You're going to want that extra protection of jeans or some sort of a breech or something if you're going through brush too on trail. You know, it's just very, it seems like a no-brainer, but I see people do it all the time. They throw their bareback pad on and just say, no big deal. We'll just go ahead and have shorts with my bareback pad on today. And it can cause some issues.
Do you see that down in Florida? Do you see anyone riding down there?
Yeah, because pretty much we don't wear pants 8 months of the year. We wear shorts. When I moved to Florida, I was not a shorts wearer. But when I moved to Florida, everybody kept saying, oh, you'll be wearing shorts. And I kept saying, I don't wear shorts too much. I wear jeans. Right now, I can tell you I don't remember the last time I wore jeans. You know, it's just we wear shorts every day because you die if you don't, especially in the summer.
Yeah, rub it in about the weather again.
I know, as I'm staring out the window to 3 inches of snow on the ground. Thanks
right,
a lot, Glenn.
You asked.
All right, so number four.
Number four is gloves, and this is gloves for leading, grooming, especially lunging. I see a lot of people lunging their horses without gloves on, and to ride, it really will help, especially, I think, out of all those things, lunging. I think it's really key. Rope burn hurts.
You know, and I'm probably going to combine this with one of your ones that's coming up, but not wrapping the lead rope around your hand as well. I mean, that's
my
big
biggest
no-no,
pet
isn't
peeve.
It?
My biggest pet peeve.
Yeah. You know, because I've seen some horrific things where people have wrapped it around the hand and the horse is either reared or tanked off with them. And that's nasty. That really hurts.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, they do it with their reins, they do it with their lunge lines, and with their lead ropes, all of those things. Absolutely. The figure eight is where you want to hold them, not, you know, wrapped around. So true.
So number five.
Yeah, this one is also about a lead rope. It's in regards to when you tie your horse. So whether he's tied with a quick release knot to something sturdy that you should be tying to, or whether he's tied in cross ties, so many people, and I know you two have seen this, duck underneath that rope in front of their horse. And I unfortunately have seen, and so now I'm a believer, something spooked the horse from behind, the horse smashed the person in between what it was tied to and himself. And that, again, is not a good place. If you're going to go ahead and go around your horse, either go around them in the front quite far, go ahead and go around behind close where you can put a hand on them, let them know you're there, or go around way out of kicking range if you feel like the horse that day has an issue with those types of things. But definitely don't duck under those lead ropes when they're tied.
Guilty, guilty, guilty.
I have to say, even as an experienced horse person, I've done that one as well before. So I did. Totally I just guilty. Said that to 30,000 people. Guilty.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
So number six.
Number six, this was the one that we had talked about, the leading the bridled horse with the reins over his or her head. So not only should you wrap it in a figure eight when you're leading them, but I see so many people that just lead their horse with the reins still over the horse's neck. And, you know, you don't have as much control that way, and it's not as respectful to the horse. It's actually going to be better, depending on what kind of bit they have in their mouth, either a leverage shank bit or a direct pressure, you know, kind of snaffle kind of bit. It's actually better on the bars of their mouth if you lead them with the reins over their head and not over their neck still.
Now, number seven is an interesting one because it will come to light in a moment when you share what it is. But I see this one a lot around showgrounds that people don't do this. And, you know, even very experienced horse people, they'll hop off the horse, have been in a class and start walking the horse, and they're not doing this. So this would be...
Yes, this is putting the irons, otherwise known as the stirrups on your English saddle, up when there's not a foot in them. And, Lindsay, I guess the reason why this one's so important to me is I've seen two incidences, unfortunately. One was when a horse was kicking at its belly for a fly, and it got its hind leg caught in the stirrup. And the quick-release bar that attaches the stirrup leather to the saddle was not WD-40'd or oiled correctly, and the horse got its leg caught, and it was bad. And then the other one was a situation that I was told about, I wasn't a witness to, and the horse went back to bite at a fly on the side of its belly, and it got its bit, because it was a kind of a bit that had a little bit of a shank on it, you know, and it got it caught with the curb chin. I think it was a Kimberwick type bit, lodged onto that stirrup, and it got hung up in the stirrup. So please try to always put your irons up when you're not riding your horse.
So number eight.
Eight is the dismounting thing, and I'm guilty of this one. You know, we get lazy, and a lot of times when we dismount, we'll just slide our belly down the horse instead of going along our right hip and going down facing front. And this is a huge one. I've seen ladies' bra straps get caught on their saddle horn. And, you know, Lindsay, I don't know about you, but I don't do a lot of pull-ups every day, and I don't have near enough muscle to haul myself back onto my horse when I'm dangling off of his 17-hand body. So I really don't want to get my bra stuck on my horn. So, yeah, always dismount with your right hip sliding down if you dismount on the left and facing forward.
Okay, this is a new one for me, I've got to admit. I haven't seen that one happen yet.
And I have to say, when I was a kid, I was probably about, 10 or 11. And one of my very good friends, Emma, had a pony called Amos. And I swear that pony was like the devil. It really was. And she used to get off by pushing herself off the back of the saddle. So she was like straddled on the pony's bottom, either side of the saddle, behind the saddle. And then she'd slide down its bum. And that's how she does now. And I always used to say to her, one day that pony's going to kick you, because it was just like the devil pony. It really was. And sure enough, so one day she thought she was being clever. She's laughing and showing off to everybody. She hops off the back of the saddle, slid down the pony's bottom, turned around, and what did the pony do? It kicked her and left a hoof print shape on her bottom.
Oh, no.
True story. Story is, don't dismount other than you should. Properly on a pony or otherwise.
Very true. Well, one more thing I want to add on this, you know, a lot of people say, well, it must just be the horn on the Western saddle, I don't have to worry about it in English. But the problem is, in English, your belt buckle, even if you just have on like just a little English type felt, and it's not the big old buckle. If you slide down on your stomach, I've seen way too many really nice leather saddles get big old holes in them because of sliding down the front. So try not to scrape your nice leather saddle. Go down on your hip.
Excellent. Number nine.
Feed horse treats. And again, I know we all want to give Blaze his treat after we ride him. And how many people even do it while they're up in the saddle? I know a lot of people do. But unfortunately, over time, that horse might become a nipper. And especially, we say it a lot to our riding instructors because they teach so many little kids, especially on horses day in, day out, that those horses do become pretty mouthy. So feed them in a bucket. Or if you want, maybe you could even do stretches with them, like go back to both hips and go in between their legs like a little bow, and that's the only time they get fed treats, just so they're not constantly searching the person for the food.
Glenn, are you going to say guilty for that one? Because I'm saying guilty.
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty. Yeah. And, you know, with my little adopted pony I got, who was starved to death when we got him, now he's fat and happy, but... You know, when you got a little starving pony, it's always you want to give him every treat you can find, right? So for a while we were doing that, but he's so food obsessed now, and I don't know if that's because he was starving or he came that way, but he's so food obsessed now. When I work with him, we learned that we cannot give him a treat until the very end, because if he gets one treat in the beginning of the middle, he just stays obsessed with my pockets, my hands, and he will not concentrate. So we've learned that I just don't give him any treats now until the very end, and then he's a good boy, you know. But that seems to solve that problem. But it's true. Everything you said is true.
So I forget what number we're on now. Number 10.
Number 10. This is for those of you that have seen the horses that pull back when they're tied. Some horses are pretty claustrophobic, and, you know, the only way that they can escape danger that they know of in their instinctual nature is to flee. And sometimes when they're hard tied, some horses can get very concerned about this, so they'll pull back. I've seen too many novice horse people say, oh my gosh, my poor horse is pulling back, I'm going to go in there and try to save him. So they try to undo the quick release knot or do something to stop that pulling action. Don't do it. Just stand back, let the horse get over its deal. When the horse is done, you're going to have a couple of things. Either your lead rope's going to break and he's going to go to the nearest patch of grass and start eating, or over to his buddy, or whatever the case may be. Or everything's going to stay attached, and then either your quick release knot's going to come undone, or hopefully you have a knife on you, and you're going to go ahead and cut that rope off of whatever he's tied to if it got that tight. But I just think that, you know, when a horse pulls back, leave him be.
I had a situation that you guys are going to laugh at, and I think I told this story once before. Soon after I got this Hackney pony, who's about 12 and a half hands, we learned that he didn't understand cross ties, but I learned it this way. After we gave him a bath, we brought him, and I put him on the cross ties. Now, underneath the cross ties is just sand. It was by the barn, and it has a sand aisleway. And he thought it would be a good idea to roll because I don't think he understood cross ties. So he just flopped down and just about hung himself. So scared the crap out of me. I saw him go down and I saw what he was trying to do. And his little head was, you know, twisted and sideways and sticking up in the air because of cross ties. And in that situation, I managed to get the buckle off because he weighed about 250 pounds. He wasn't going to break the safety releases. They weren't going to break. So, because he was too light. So that was a situation that, you know, it was just, I had to get in there and handle it, or I think he'd hung himself. He just didn't get it. And we do have the safety releases on the cross ties, but he wasn't heavy enough. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, and that brings up a really good point too, Glenn, because the safety releases should be on not only where it attaches to the horse, but also where it attaches to the wall.
Right.
Because if you have a horse that's freaking out, it'd be nice to undo it from the wall and have a lead rope, right? So having them on both ends of the cross ties is a great idea.
And a lot of people use one strand of baler twine up there, and that has worked for us many, many times.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the method we use, and we've had nose break many times. But I don't know that this pony could have done it. He could do it now, but I don't know that he could have done it then. So
yeah, too light. Good point.
Yeah, ponies are a whole different ballgame. By the way, we don't cross tie them anymore. So
very wise, I think. Glenn.
Yeah.
All right, so number 11.
This one is going back to our Western folks that use a back cinch. Unfortunately, I've seen too many times where that back cinch is put too loose. And it really needs to be kind of up against the horse's belly. You might want to be able to get a couple of fingers in between it and the belly, but you don't want it hanging down. If it's hanging down, it's not doing its job. Its job is to keep the back of your saddle down if you're doing cutting or roping or you're going up and down big hills or you're doing some of those types of things. And you really have to have a strap in between your back cinch and your front cinch. Otherwise, that back cinch can go back to the genitalia area. And a lot of horses really don't like that feeling, and they might give you an unscheduled dismount.
Sorry.
I can speak for humans too. We're in that. We don't like that cinch that tight either. So
I knew you were gonna have to come up with it.
She threw it out there. What was I gonna do? Not take it?
I knew you'd have to come up with some wise crap. I have to say as well.
And Christy, you know me well enough. You put that in there just for me, didn't you?
I love open doors for you, Glenn.
I knew that was coming, Glenn. And I have to say, just from an English perspective, it took me the longest time to figure out what people were talking about when they called it a cinch when I lived over here. I was like, it's a guess. What are you talking about? Anyway, moving on to number 12.
Yes, and then I'll keep in the Western realm for just a little while longer here. The stirrup hobbles, and those are the things that actually connect, keep the stirrup right above where it attaches to the fender. It keeps it connected. Those Western stirrups can actually rotate around inside that fender and can get twisted up. Let's say if you accidentally lose the stirrup when you're out riding or whatever, and you might put your foot back in without looking, and then you're kind of upside down. So keeping those little things, they're little leather straps you can buy at your tack store. Most saddles come with them, but if you lose them, good old baling twine works just fine.
Excellent. Number 13.
That is curb chains. And this is whether or not you ride English or Western. You know, a lot of your leverage bits have curb chains, and those chains really need to be smooth. So when you put them on, just kind of rotate it all one direction until if you run your thumb down it, it feels 100% smooth, and then attach it to the other side of your horse's bit. Your horse will be much happier than having it be all bumpy underneath there.
You know, I know a little bit about this one because I drive, and they're very popular with drivers. And I've seen this more than once when we went out to pleasure drives, especially. The people just weren't paying attention. You throw it on quick, and it's basically, you know, curled 12 times. So it really, truly is digging into their chin. And, you know, that is something that really, I always obsessed over that because I didn't want it digging in, you know, because I have, you can make a bloody mess out of that one if it's twisted too much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, we're going to round out with number 14, which is?
Yes, that one, I talk about putting the pads up into the gullet of the saddle. And this is something, again, English or Western, it doesn't really make any difference. That allows that nice airflow. It allows for the saddle not to get down on the horse's withers quite as quickly into the ride as some saddles and pads have a tendency to do after long periods of riding. So put that pad up into the gullet, and you'll start off with that saddle much more secure.
Excellent. Well, I think that was a fabulous list, don't you, Glenn?
Yes, I do. And we have a very exciting announcement to make while Christy's here. Just very convenient that you're here right now. Christy and the Certified Horsemanship Association is going to be joining us, just like you do, Lindsay, once a month on Horses in the Morning. Christy's going to be co-hosting with me, and we're kind of going to do a training show once a month here on Horses in the Morning. Christy's going to join us the third Tuesday of every month, starting in January, right?
Yes, and we are so excited about it. I'm already lining up some great people that are going to come on and do talks, so it's going to be a good time.
Well, you have a pool of how many certified instructors to pull from?
We've certified over 20,000 now since we've been around, and at any given time, we have about 3,500 that are really active and current with us.
And we're going to try and get through them all in a year. So we're going to have like...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're going to have 1,000 guests an episode.
That's going to be speed talking.
Yeah, that's right. But this show, and I'm really excited about it, is going to be really directed toward training. So we're going to tackle different topics with all of these, you know, top name people from across the country. And it's going to be a little, you know, it's going to be a little bit different than our regular shows where we don't get into that a whole lot. And I'm very excited about the fact that we are going to do that. And I'm very excited that you're going to be the one doing it with me.
Well, I'm excited too, Glenn. It'll be fun to be in Lindsay's shoes.
That's
Instead
right.
of being the guest, I get to be the co-host. Woohoo!
That's
That'll be
right.
good.
Well, I'm just glad that you verified that it was training of horses and from the trainer's perspective, because I thought Glenn was talking about training horse husbands. I said, that's a show that could go on forever.
That's true.
you know what? We don't need a show for that. The wives do it just fine. Thank you, Christy. What's the website for the CHA?
It is CHA and then hyphen AHSE.org. And that AHSE, because we used to be, our tagline was the Association of Horsemanship Safety and Education, which we still use every now and then. So CHA-AHSE.org.
And we'll post a link to that in our show notes at Horses in the Morning as well. And we're looking forward to talking to you and having you on as a co-host in January.
Sounds good. And thanks so much, Lindsay, for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's fun. You know, I'm really looking forward to having Christy on the show and adding a training segment once a month to the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Christy, you know, I've known her for years and years and years. Ever since I've known her, she's been the CHA, actually.
I still think you should do a horse husband show.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're the horse husband that's the host of the Horses in the Morning show, but I think it would be hilarious to
We do every do year. Around, we do a horse husband
yeah,
show
on Valentine's or something and have all the horse husbands on. I think you should do that.
Well, we do once a year on Stable Scoop. We've done five of them now every year, and this will be the sixth year where we get four different horse husbands on and we just sit around and bitch about our wives for an hour. And it's one of the most downloaded shows we do every year. I definitely should do once a month where here on Hit 'Em, where I just get a horse husband on and then we talk to different horse husbands. It would probably be a very popular show. That's a good idea, actually. I never thought about it.
Oh, no, you can pay me the royalties
okay,
on that later.
I'll do that. Finding ones that are willing to come on and actually talk about their wives is always
I'll get you part. Loads of horse husbands, Glenn.
Okay.
Loads of them.
All right. Yeah. You helped set that up. That is a good idea.
And all my girlfriends will never forgive me.
Well, you know what? We are in Thanksgiving week, and we want to wish all of our listeners from the United States a happy Thanksgiving. And of course, one of the things that happens this week is people are already lined up outside of Best Buys all across the country with tents and sleeping bags and, you know, getting ready for that kind of thing. But if they want to buy some high visibility products from you, they don't have to line up.
They don't. They can just go to highvisibilitysportswear.com. And I sneak, didn't tell you this just 2 days before Thanksgiving, but from Thursday through Monday, we are actually going to be running a holiday special on the website. So that's highvisibilitysportswear.com. Can't tell you what it is, but go on the website Thursday to end of day Monday.
Black Friday sale, but this one you can do at home. Much easier and you don't have to be around the stinky people who haven't showered for a week. That's the other thing.
have you ever been one of those people that would actually stand in line for hours and hours and hours? I don't know. I'd just rather pay the full price for it than go to all the hassle.
I'm with you. And you know what the difference is too nowadays is if you search on Google, you can find a sale on almost any product you're looking for. So
online.
Yeah, you just buy it online. You know, I needed a new monitor, and I was going to wait until Friday and see if I could find any place that had monitors on sale. And then I just searched yesterday for, you know, computer monitor sale Black Friday. And I found places that had them already on sale, and I got a really good deal on one. And it's going to be here Tuesday. I'm going to leave the house. So I just don't understand why people do it. I think it's just the adventure of it. I was never one of those people. I'm not a stuff person, really. So
I'm not sure I would call it an adventure when you see horror stories of Walmart and there's like 500 people storm the one poor security guard that weighs about 100 pounds.
I think people like that. I mean, the ones who do it like it. They like that.
Yeah.
They like the adventure of, you know, running people over and being the first one to grab it. And then when they get it home, it's broken because they smashed it on the way out the door. I'm with you on that one, Lindsay. I just rather stay at home and, you know, eat my breakfast at home. Eat my turkey leftovers at home. Well, you have a terrific time on Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Yes, you will. I'll have some more exciting guests on next month as well. It's all about safety on this show, Glenn.
And for those people who are listening for Riders for Helmets, we appreciate you being here. I wanted to make an announcement that tomorrow we have some special programming for you again for the holiday week. So there'll be no EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. We will not be doing that or Really Bad Ads this week because we have all this special programming for player prepared for you. So no games this week, no prizes this week. You're going to have to do that on your own, but we will be back next week with all of that. We will be back here tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning for a Wednesday show. Then Thursday, there will be no show for Thanksgiving, and we'll be back on Friday. We have a very special Black Friday show prepared for you on Friday. I think you're going to like it a lot. So we will be back on Friday as well. Don't forget, you can get our app. You just go to the App Store. It's free. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to pay for it. Nothing. You just go to the iOS or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network, and you'll find it in there. Lindsay's site is High Visibility Sportswear. HighVisibilitySportswear.com and also Riders4Helmets.com. Thank you, Lindsay. Lindsay, have a terrific holiday.
Gobble, 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 Glenn.